And we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com and the High School Sports Caravan, brought to you by Lou Fuse Automotive Group, the number one automotive group in the state of Missouri. I'm Jim Powers, glad to have you with us. And it's time, at that time of the month, actually, we're going to give them a couple of times here in March, you know, because of all the state tournaments going on. But Earl Austin Jr., you see his work in the St. Louis American, also see his listen to his terrific work with the Junior Bills and Bob Ramsey on the St. Louis University broadcast. But Earl, it's hard to believe basketball season is 3 weeks away from being over, but we've just seen some unbelievable stuff this year.
Yeah, it's been a great season. And like you say, districts are in full swing, especially with the small schools at the sectional and quarterfinal rounds and the big schools getting started this week. But like you said, you know, in Kerner words, winning streak, we got several teams trying to, you know, good position to try to defend their state championships. And it's like I say, it's just 3 weeks, but it's just going to be a fast and furious 3 weeks of basketball. It's going to be very exciting to watch unfold.
For me and you, this is like Christmas Eve every day now for the next 3 weeks, because, you know, the junkies that we are, it's just, you know, you love seeing the kids perform at this level. You love to see them, you know, survive in advance. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And especially, I think this year, I think we're going to see some new blood that's going to make it down to JQH Arena this year. I think there's a lot of room for some new teams to finally get to the Final Four.
Absolutely. Like you said, you got your old standbys like Yoli Vachons and Boys and Incarnate Words and Girls. But as we talked about before, you know, we got, you know, Principia's one game away from the Final Four in Class 2, Jay Blossom taking over. Granted, they got to play against a very talented Cooter team from Southeast Missouri who already clipped Prin by 20 a couple of weeks ago. So that's going to be a very interesting rematch. Obviously, with a Final Four berth on the line, that should be a fun game to take a look at. And then Lutheran North is in the 3A quarterfinals. You know, they're no stranger. They've, you know, been there, but it's been a few years since we've seen Lutheran North on that scene again, winning a district. Last year it was Duchenne coming out of that district with a losing record, made a surprise run. Now this year it's Lutheran North, and that's interesting because that's the Metro League. That's two teams in the Metro League who are in Class 2 in Principia and Class 3 in Lutheran North. And then you look at Class 4, MICDS and John Burroughs, or John Burroughs and MICDS are 1 and 2 seeds in district number 4, I believe. And then Westminster is in a number 1 seed in district 5. So that league, it's kind of underrated, but they put out some good basketball players and some good teams, especially in recent years.
No doubt. Well, let's start with Class 1. Classes 1 through 3 had their sectionals this past Monday on the boys' side, and then they'll get things cranked up here on Friday in the quarterfinals. Let's start with Class 1. South Iron dodged a major bullet the other night. The two-time defending state champs against Chadwick, who gave them everything that they wanted. They'll get Clarkton. Then you've got, you know, Jefferson Conception, St. Elizabeth, you know, the usual suspects, Glasgow. You know, this Final Eight in Class 1 is absolutely terrific. Once again, some new blood and some of the old blood that we've seen over the last bunch of years.
Well, like I say, Dusty's got South Iron back there again. Probably not the powerhouse team that they've had in the last 2 years with Drennan Dinkins and Blake Moore, Brock Wakefield, who's now at Drury. But it's a very good team, talented team, and they know how to win. So they're going to be a threat. A couple of teams I really like. Thomas Jefferson up there by Joplin. They got this big man, Jay Ball. They've been to the quarterfinals the last 2 years, and they're playing St. Elizabeth, who's knocked them out the last 2 years. They'll answer and got to the Final Four. But this Jay Ball is really good. He's 6'7", big fella, can play. Platte Valley's ranked number 1 in the state, and they've, you know, under the old name Conception Junction, Jefferson, they won it 2 or 3 years ago, then under Coach Jermaine, and they finished 2nd to Dora. Now they're back. Jermaine's got a son there. That's good. Atlanta's got a 6'8 kid. Roman Phillips is good. In Glasgow, I like. They got a talented team as well. And then Green City is no stranger as well. They're a small team, a lot of guards. They got a kid named Xander Salas, sophomore guard, who can really play. So that should be exciting to see what happens this weekend.
You know, class two, we talked a little bit about Prin and Cooter. You know, they matched up a couple weeks ago in a late season throw-in game because both teams lost games due to weather. And it was literally put together in a day and a half. Prin up 14, Cooter comes back to win. I said this earlier. Now you're giving Jay Blossom 5 days to get ready for a Cooter team. Guess what? I'll put my money on Jay Blossom any day of the week, even though Cooter's just a terrific ball club. But this class two bracket, you know, with Wibolo, Plattsburgh, Clopton, Stansberry, and the year that Hartfield's had has just been unbelievable.
It should be good. Like you said, Cooter and Principia, we talked about. Plattsburgh is undefeated. They probably got the top player in class two in Isaiah Howard, 6'5" guard, averaging close to 30 points a game. Wablo is a young team that's been building the last couple of years. Salisbury's got a great player named Cooper Francis, 6'4" junior guard, led them to a district championship, and they're playing against a Clopton team. Coach my buddy Tony Francis, I believe, who was a coach at Lindenwood there. Women's team led them to the NCAA tournament. And Hartville is back in 2A, where they won it 3 years ago. Then they went up to 3A and won it. Now they've kind of rebuilt their team from that powerhouse group they had. Very solid group. They'll play against a good Marionville team as well. But some powerhouse groups in class two to look at, I think.
And then in class three, you kind of mentioned a few of the, you know, one of the surprise teams on Luther North and the, you know, coming in under the radar. But you know, you look at, you know, New Madrid, and that New Madrid Charleston game Monday night was just a, I mean, you know this as well as I do. Those teams down in the Boot Hill, number one, do not like each other in any way, shape, or form. And when they hook up, when you get into sectional quarters, they let it all out on the court, and that's what those two teams did in that quarterfinal, the other or sectional. It was a terrific game to watch.
Yeah, that's kind of a state championship lane quality. You got Charleston had everybody back from the championship team, and then New Madrid dropping into class three, and it was all Jadis Jones, 29 points and 23 rebounds. Unbelievable performance by that 6'5" junior and the clip Charleston. So they, so beating them, they took. That doesn't mean that it's still an automatic, but I think they went a long way. But a team I really liked all season down is Sparta. They are really good. They got a kid named Jacob Lafferty. He's 6'5". He's a beast around that basket. He dunks as much as anybody I've seen around the state. Big body kid. They've had a really good year. They played Thayer, a team that got to the Final Four last year, lost their top two players, but they're back. They've won like 12. Coach Pitts has won like 12 districts in a row, so they know how to win.
This Thayer Sparta game, and me and Chris Miller, the head coach at St. Pius down in Festus, were talking earlier today. This Thayer Sparta game is going to be a knockdown, drag out, backroom brawl. And I've already said first team to 40 is going to win because both teams have, I mean, they play terrific defense. They just lock teams down and don't let them have any room to move. I think out of all three of the, you know, classifications, this may be the best game out of
Oh,
all three
yeah.
of them.
And just to get out of district, Thayer had to beat Mansfield, which was ranked one and two throughout the season. They were like 28-1, and they beat them, I think, just that win that district championship experience. And they got Aiden Burns, who's really good there. He played for Brad Beal Elite during the summer. Excellent player. Harrington, the kid from all transfer from Alton, 6'5" sophomore, is good. But yeah, that I'll be looking in on that one. We play at the same time, but no, that's an 8 o'clock game, so I'll be able to get a chance to take a look at that one. That's probably the biggest matchup. And then, like I said, Lafayette County, a team that was in the state championship game last year, they lose their player of the year in Mason Rumsey. And they're right back in it with an opportunity to get back to the Final Four, led by Josiah Golden, who could really score. And I got a big fella inside, big football player, and just a good group there. And that's they lost some great players, but here they are right back in the mix again.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, West County is a team that they had to battle a little bit the other night. And what a great year the Maplewood had. I mean, you know, to get out of that district, and that wasn't the easiest district to get out of. And they had West County on the ropes, you know, for most of that ball game. But unfortunately, if you're West County, now you get the juggernaut called New Madrid Central.
Right. Well, I watched West County and Jefferson playing their district game, and they were down 10 with about 3 minutes to go in regulation, and they battled back and won that game in overtime. And then again, they were trailing in the fourth quarter against Maplewood, and they were able to come back and win that game to get to this quarterfinal round. They got some size. They got a guy named Cheston Horton, who's about 6'5". They got another 6'5" kid inside. They got a guard named Harlow, who's a good player. So it's a talented team, and they match up with New Madrid. But New Madrid, like I say, they just got to, you know, they just got to have a positive attitude, knowing who they're playing. You have nothing to lose, you know. So that'll be an interesting matchup as well.
Talk on the girls' side real quick, and you know, some of the familiar names that we talk a lot about on the girls' side in classes 1, 2, 3 have made it through. You know, starting over in class one on the girls, you know, you look at Chadwick, they've been there. You look at St. Elizabeth, Meadville, you know, Jefferson Conception, Platte Valley. I mean, you're talking about a grouping in class one that's all been there. But I tell you what, the way the Delta is just steamrolling people down south has just been terrific. And for them to pull off a pretty big win against South Iron the other night was huge.
Right. You're looking at if they both win Delta and Platte Valley playing in the semifinals next week, and that would be a rematch of last year's state championship game. Delta team with speed and quickness and run up and down the court, and Platte Valley's got that size with Maggie Collins inside. But down on the bottom of the bracket is Meadville. They got a they just had a strong, they had a tough game last night against North Shelby. They got three tough guards, Corey Holzer, and then the Carbajal sisters, who are the daughters of the head coach, the first-year coach. And it's a three-guard monster, and they've only lost one game, I believe. They're ranked, or I don't know if they have lost, they're undefeated, I believe, ranked number one in the state. So those are three strong, strong teams. The other five are pretty good, too. Leighton's got a nice guard named Bailey Fleming, but that's a strong field in class one.
Then over in class two, New Haven, I don't care what they have, how much they struggle sometimes. New Haven is one of the regulars that always makes it, but a little bit tougher road for them this year because you've got a Miller team that's absolutely phenomenal. You know, Northeast Cairo's terrific. You know, but there's some new names in the name, like Fordland. You know, they're having a terrific season. Tipton has been there, you know, but not on a regular basis. I'm really intrigued with the Class 2 girls side.
Yeah, I think the team to beat in that group is probably Tipton. They got Myra Class inside, one of the best guards in the state. East Carter is interesting because they upset Ellington in the districts. Brooklyn Curry can play. Miller is a team that's been there several years in a row. Kind of a new team. They start three freshmen. And as you said, Northeast Cairo, they got good size inside as well. And LeBlanc is a good team. LeBlanc is the one team that beat Tipton already, I believe, is in a shootout. I believe that 12 Courts of Christmas they met, so out of St. Joe's area as well. And they got Shea Lewis, a good ball player as well. So good teams. We've got some potential great matchups in the state as well.
And then in class three, some of the usual names, the usual suspects are making their way, but I think a lot of people are thinking maybe West County and El Dorado Springs may rematch from the championship last year, this time in the semifinal. And then you look down below, a couple of names that we always talk about every year, Skyline, Fairgrove. I mean, once again, a terrific class three field on the girls' side.
Yeah, South Shelby was in the championship game last year, and they got Miranda Patterson, their best player, back. They headed to Maryville. Skyline was in the championship game 2 years ago, lost to Live for Life. But Fairgrove got a great player inside, 6 foot center, and Manfield's got the Jones twins, and they got a young lady of that good size, a 6'2 center inside as well. But El Dorado Springs lost their best player, but they're right there. They're beating teams by significant margins and have a good chance to get themselves back in the championship mix as well.
All right, let's go to the big schools. You know, the boys and girls in 5 and 5 and 6 start their stuff today. Class four started their stuff, or, you know, on Monday and Tuesday. But let's start off with six, and let's go boys first. You look at District 1 in Class 6, Kirkwood. Here's what I'm going to say about Kirkwood. I'm okay with the two losses that they had a few weeks ago because I think that kind of brought them back to planet Earth, so to say, because
yes,
the job that Sam has done has been terrific. And if there's a coach of the year in the state other than Chris Neff, It's Sam Briscoe with the job he's done.
Oh yeah, I think probably it's real good to drop those two right before postseason play. Get yourself refocused because, like I say, single elimination, you lose one, you have a bad performance, and then it's so your season's over. And like I say, they got the one seed; they're looking pretty good. Jackson looks to be that one challenger down on the bottom of the bracket as a two seed. They have the talent level. I watched the game against Cape Central, who's ranked 1 or 2 and 5. They had them down 16 in the third quarter. So they got the ability. They got a big man, Ernst, inside. Blaine Harris and Kyle Toma are good 6'4 wing players as well. So they got the talent to challenge. But like I said, if Kirkwood puts it together, they got a chance to be, do something special in this postseason.
Then you switch over to District 2, Parkway West, the one seed, Eureka, the two seed. This is the, the Rockwood Parkway sort of district. You just throw Waynesville in for fun and frolic in Lebanon. But I really like how Parkway West, they kind of shuffled their feet a little bit middle of the year, but it just seems like that, they've gained their traction once again.
This one's impossible to call because they're all thrown in there. Eureka, Marquette, Lafayette, Parkway West, you throw them all in the bag, they're going to be a bunch of competitive games. They're going to be 47 to 46. That might be a little high scoring for Coach Kirby and the Eureka team. They want to hold you under. They want to hold you under 30, under 40. But it's all of those. The coaches know each other so well. I mean, most of them are in the same district or they're rivals, and that just leads to just you don't know what's going to happen. Parkway South is a dangerous team, and they're in the five seed playing Lafayette first. They got some good guards, Hurt and Callaway. Are good players as well. So put them all in the hat. I mean, Parkway West got the one seed and good players. Tyler King is one of the best players in the area, but that one, just who knows?
Yeah. Well, here's the other one. Here's the other one we're going to flip coins on. Let's go to three.
Jesus.
Let's go to three. CBC, Chaminade, Slough High, Pattonville, Howell North, Howell Central. Okay. You know what? I mean, we saw what happened in the MCC this year with three of those teams. We're going to see it again in this district, except it's a one-and-done scenario.
Yes.
CBC with the one, Chaminade with the two, Slough High with the three.
Right. The MCC tournament, and all of them won districts last year, and two of them were in the Final Four, and here they are. And in the first round, Rittner was a conference champion, played against Hazelwood Central, who took Cape Girardeau to overtime. Mm-hmm. They beat the SMET, I believe, and they play today in the very first game as well. So that's a loaded district, very competitive. And like you say, teams are in the MCC teams, a rather young team. So you just don't know what you're going to get. But CBC looked like they were starting to put things together.
The youngsters are starting to get their footing.
Coming from 19 down to beat Cardinal Ritter, winning at Cape Girardeau Central by 2, but those are a couple of big wins late in the season going into the districts. And then Slough, Chaminade, as you talked about, anybody's guess.
Well, then you go to 4, and that's the GAC round robin that everybody loves to talk about. But, Troy has had a terrific year, and I don't think they've been getting the accolades that they deserve. They have just played very steady, very competitive all year long. They deserve the one. Howell had once again, a couple bumps in the road mid-season, but they're the two seed. St. Dominic, and what a job K-Rob's done, with that program. Once again, they knock off this, Kirkwood. They hand Kirkwood their first loss of the season a few weeks back. They're the three seed. I think this one's up for grabs.
It is, too. I think Troy has been consistent throughout the last, this group's kind of been together for 3 years now. They want to really make a last statement with Jack Pheasanton and Charlie Ned at the backcourt. I mean, they've been together forever. Tyler Moore, good, and his younger brother, is nice sophomore. But like you say, Francis Howell is very competitive. They're hosting the district this year. Mm-hmm. And like I say, Dominic up class 6 this year. And like I say, Kevin's done an excellent job. They lose a great player in Schwindemann, but they've not only have they beaten Kirkwood, but they beat Troy this year in the Troy tournament to get to the championship game. So they're capable of knocking off a heavyweight. He puts his team in a position to win games, and that's why they can be dangerous.
I think outstate in the other districts, outstate, I think there's two teams that we really need to worry about. We talked about Chris Nathan Staley. They've been the one team all year. Their loss is to Vachon by a buzzer beater here at the V. And then what about the job down in Nixa? You know, new coach coming in and just really getting those kids playing at such a high level.
Yeah, they were undefeated for most of the season.
Yeah.
And Cale Combs is, you know, a strong Mr. Basketball candidate the way he's played. They're all at those Springfield schools are together, Republic, Kickapoo. They're all together. Joplin's got some talent as well. So it's not an easy road for Nixa. I think also in Kansas City, while Staley is a big favorite, two teams who are going to try to jump the shark this year are Oak Park and Lee Summit West. Now, they'll be favorites next year in 23, but Oak Park starts three sophomores and a senior, like a bunch of sophomores and a couple of freshmen.
I'm going to tell you
right
now. The Allen
brothers are good. Yeah.
That freshman point guard, and I had a chance to see him play at the Norm Stewart.
Yeah, Tanner.
That freshman point guard is legit. Yeah. I mean, he runs the court and he runs that team just like a senior veteran that's played for 4 years. Mm-hmm. He is so, I mean, you would never, if you just had a sheet with no grades and you look at Oak Park, that point guard for Oak Park, you would say that this kid is a senior the way he runs things out there.
Oh, yeah. And Lee Summit West is a team. They're junior dominated. They upset a great Lee Summit team last year as sophomores in the district. And them and Oak Park are 2-3 in Kansas City. Now, the one with, well, Lee Summit West can get there by, they can get to Springfield and avoid Staley while Oak Park has to play Staley to get through, but Lee Summit West doesn't. And also by Lindsay, North Kansas City's got some young guards that are very good as well.
Class six girls, is there anybody that can beat Incarnate in the state of Missouri? I mean, let's just flat out. I don't think we need to talk a whole lot because right now, 97 games, I believe the number is 96. The way, I mean, and I tell you what, they got pushed last week against Burroughs.
They got their way, and that's the thing. They got a wake up. They got their wake up call.
Yes, they did.
Beforehand. They sure did. They, you know,
I mean, they were down 13 at one point.
Yes,
Then it just went nuts. And but I mean, in all honesty, I mean, Truman's having a great year. You know, I think
Park Hill South.
Park Hill South. I just don't think there's anybody that could not, you know, derail the Incarnate Word Red Knight train right now.
No, they would have to really play a C, the D plus game, and you have to play your best game for them to, you know, they just got too much size, talent, experience, and great coach, and they got the whole combination. And you're gonna have to play your, like I said, your best game for that to happen. And you kind of saw Burroughs really probably push them. You got some teams that are young, like Park Hill South is young, very talented. But, you know, they already played each other. Then IWA handled them pretty easily. Like you say, Truman had a great season. I think they lost one of their best guards, got injured. I don't know if she's back. Uriah Williams. And then Raytown is a good team as well. And then the teams in the mid-Missouri are good. Hickman is good. Brockbridge, still young, but good. But, you know, Incarnate, as you said, is kind of the leader in the clubhouse going in.
All right, let's go to Class 5 boys. And out of the 8 districts, I think this is the district. There's actually 2 of them, but I think this one may be the most competitive balanced that we are going to see in years when you look at District 1. Cape Central is the 1 seed, Sykeston the 2, Hillsborough the 3, then Windsor and Festus that have just kicked the snot out of each other on 2 occasions this year in the GCAA. And then you've got a Farmington team who's not shabby, a North County team that's not shabby, and a DeSoto team that can beat anybody at any given day. This thing is as loaded as you are going to see a district field this year.
It's a good field, but in Cape Girardeau Central, you probably got the Boot Heels' best chance for a big school state championship since Ron Jones led Cape Central to a championship back in 1980, I believe. It was 43 years. This Cam Williams is a 6A kid. They got talented freshmen, Ty Edwards and Markel Murray. They have guard play, Jay Reynolds, coach, his GOAT, his dad's assistant coach, is Simo. They've got all the pieces together to make a big run. Now to get there, like you say, after them, like you say, Hillsboro is good. Sikeston is a very talented team. A little young, maybe a year away from being very serious, but they have some. You know, Dontrez Williams is a very talented player as well at that 2 seed, dangerous team as well. So you got good matchups. Windsor and Festus in that very first game is a very it's a that's a good game. That's two good Jefferson County teams. That's a good game, you know.
What was it, Earl? A 3-point game the first time and then a 2-point game the second time? Something along those lines? I tell you
Yes.
what, I can't wait to sit in my hotel room and watch that game before the NAIA stuff that I've got to do, because that's just,
Yeah.
once again, I mean, it's just a great matchup, and you kind of wish it would have gotten shuffled out a little bit more, that they wouldn't have had to face each other in the first round. But those are two, I mean, Jefferson County basketball this year has been terrific between those three. You know, Jarvis's crew down at Herky having a nice year. You know, their season falling a little bit short. I mean, R7 knocking off some people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't give the love to Jefferson County basketball as we should.
Yeah, it always is you always get quality players. I know Hillsboro had that great run with Gavin, and then they got to the quarterfinals, won some districts and everything. So, but like you said, it gets a little overshadowed a lot of times because of, you know, St. Louis. But you still got, I guess a couple weeks ago, you had a great game. And Festus and Hillsboro played 105, 103 games. And Noah Phillips had 50. Ahmad Branch had 48. Kids going to Purdue to play football. And, you know, and it was just a maybe one of the most exciting games of the year in high school.
No doubt. And then you look over at the at District 2, you got Ritter as the one, Viani the two, Webster Groves the three, Summit the four. I mean, this is an it's not as deep, but it's an interesting district bracket that we're going to see.
Yeah, Ritter's been the most consistent team. RJ is junior dominated, and they've played very good basketball. Viani, they struggled with talent because they're so young, but they threw a couple shots across the bow last week when you knock off the
The
SMET after
Smet.
SMET by 17 and you knock off U High. That's a good way to go into the district tournament with some confidence. And although Webster has been, it's been an atypical Webster year. Now you turn the page and it's March again, and you still got Isaiah Purvey, CJ Wang. You got some talented players who were there last year when they won the championship. You cannot discount them at all, even though it hasn't been a typical Webster year. You just they got good personnel, and you can't discount what they are capable of doing in a district situation.
Then you look at District 3. The Smet the one seed, but unfortunately, I think they're limping in a little bit. You know, they had a chance to win the MCC outright and couldn't seal the deal. So we have a three-way dance for the title there. Ladue, the number two team, and what a, I mean, what a great year. Once again, you know, Chad's had those kids playing at a high level. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's another program that's kind of flown under the radar, although they did get to a Final Four a couple of years ago. Jack Steinbach has been a terrific floor leader for the last 4 years at Ladue High School. Sweeney is a good 6'6" player inside, and they just continue to play winning basketball. They were class four a few years ago when they went, now they're up to 6 or 5, and I think it's a very very another very good team they had. I'm impressed they could possibly play McClure North. I got to give a shout out to Rashad Lindsay, who led McClure North, my alma mater, to 18 wins this year, and did an excellent job. You know, he was an assistant coach with Pat Smith at Moberly on a national team last year, and came back to his alma mater and wanted to be a head coach. And he's done a tremendous job this year with the Stars. Very, very proud to see him do that.
Real quick, because we're starting to run a little bit short of time here. Westminster, the one seed in District 4, and Zumwalt South will be their test, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you got a great player in Kobe Williams and a great coach in Dale Ribble. But South, you know, the Bill's been there quite a bit. A good team, very balanced, and kind of rebuild after losing a great senior class last year that won a got to the quarterfinals last year.
In class five outstate, I think there's a couple decent teams. I mean, but really, I think the power in class five is on this side of the state. Pembroke Hill is a team that everybody's got to keep their eye on. Smithville's having another terrific year. But, you know, I
Jefferson
really think,
City. Watch Jefferson City.
yeah,
They're
Jeff
good.
City.
Yeah.
So.
Josh Buffington back in the coaching ranks as a head coach, and he's got a strong team. But like I said, Pembroke Hill was a Final Four participant in Class Four with the Conley Twins. They got a chance to make a nice run in it last year. In a couple of weeks.
On the girls' side, I think everybody is anticipating Carl Junction, John Burroughs. They've been one and two all year long, and I think that collision course is being set.
It's the best. Well, it might be the best view. You take Carl Junction, John Burroughs,
Luth and
Jefferson
St.
City,
Charles.
Helias, and Lutheran St. Charles. Those are all great teams. And Carl Junction had a great year. They beat everybody in Springfield this year. I mean, they were the best team. That's Destiny Bergie and Kylie Sky, a great 1-2 combination. But that's Lutheran St. Charles beat Hickman. They beat Helias. They beat some heavyweights. And Burroughs is a state championship level team. Yeah, that's those are some great teams. That's going to be fun to watch, especially all four of those teams hook up.
Class four, it's Vashon and Vashon.
Pretty much. They
Now,
might be
hold
up.
up though. On the girls' side, Vashon girls have to beat the Ritter girls in district. And
That's yeah.
unfortunately, you know,
Yeah.
with my the other side of my life as the athletic director, you know, we're in that district. So, but no, I mean, you look
And
at Vashon.
congratulations that Rosati got a win yesterday in
Yeah,
the conference. I saw that. I
absolutely.
saw that.
But you know, but yeah, I mean, you look at what Tony's got going with the girl with the boys' side, what John's got going with the girls' side. You know, I know they're going to get some challenges, but right now they're the two top teams in Class Four in the state, bar none.
Yeah, they got a chance to do the double this year. Ritter presents problems with its size inside. Nia Williams and Hannah Wallace, both 6-footers, who can play. But when you got three Division One level guards, Tutu Clayton, Janala Bush, Rachel Jones, you do a lot of damage. Now they just got to avoid injury, not injury, but foul trouble, which is probably curtailed, which curtailed them from winning the state championship 2 years ago. They had a great team then. You don't want to get into foul trouble, but they're a pretty solid favorite to make a good run. St. Joe Benton is really good.
Yeah.
On the other side, they were second place last year, and they got a good chance of coming back around again on that other side of the state. And some other good. St. James is always good. They were a Final Four team. They got a nice squad again.
No doubt about it. Well, Earl, appreciate the time, and let's put it in the calendar 2 weeks today. We're going to do
Okay.
this again before the big school championship,
We might
and
be in Springfield doing
me and you, we may do it live down in Springfield. You never know
it.
what the world's going to happen. So,
Yes.
but you know, appreciate all of you do all of your time, and you know, let's plan 2 weeks from now. We're talking about small school championships, which I'm glad to be back at. I'll have the call on the class one and class three boys side for the semis and the championship. So I'm excited about that.
I look forward to watching. I'll be in Brooklyn with the Billikens, but I'll definitely be watching you on the call of those great games.
No doubt about it. Well, thanks so much, buddy. Safe travels, and we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Thanks a lot, JP.
Earl Lawson Jr., he is the man when it comes to high school sports here in the state of Missouri on the basketball side. Glad to have him with us. And once again, we want to thank him. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, part of Scoops with DannyMac.com, the high school sports caravan, all sponsored by Lou Fuse Automotive Group, the number one automotive group in the state of Missouri. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.